And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of England has two sad announcements this week. Our risen Lord called home Forbes Morris on Sunday, the 1st of September, after she battled with cancer. Forbes was an extremely valued member of the Executive Council and was the treasurer of the ELCE. We give thanks to God for her wonderful, dedicated service and remember her husband and their children in our prayers. Dr. Reginald Quirk has announced his retirement from the ministry as of the 1st of September. In a statement read to his congregation on the 25th of August, he announced, "From the 1st of September 2013, I am retiring from my ministry and therefore cease to be pastor of Resurrection Congregation and preceptor of Westfield House. My retirement follows confession of adultery, which is behavior inappropriate for one in the pastoral ministry. I intend to retire completely at this time and will not be available for pastoral services in the ELCE. It has been an honor to serve the congregation and my best wishes and prayers are with you." Pastor John Ehlers, chairman of the ELCE, said, "We are deeply saddened by the situation, but we keep Dr. Quirk and his family, the Resurrection Congregation and Westfield House in our prayers. The ELCE places an extremely high value on the integrity of our pastors and their position as servants of the church, as under-shepherds of Christ." On a much happier note, congratulations to Dr. Cindy Lumley, who was installed as principal of Westfield House last Saturday. Representatives from many churches in the ELCE travelled to Cambridge to celebrate this notable event in ELCE history. Pastor John Ehler said, "We are delighted to welcome Dr. Lumley back to the ELCE, and I look forward to working with her to ensure a bright and prosperous future for Westfield House as it works to train students for work in the church." Pastor David Jackson of St. Paul's in Boreham Wood has accepted a divine call to serve as a naval chaplain in the Royal Canadian Armed Forces, and his last service at St. Paul's took place on the 25th of August. We pray God's blessing on Pastor David and his wife Adria as they take up the post. St. Paul's is currently discussing with the ELCE chairman, examining possible future candidates to serve them. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has clashed with a Christian pastor over gay marriage, using the Bible to support his argument as he explained his change of heart on the issue. Labour leader Rudd, who was lagging in polls ahead of Saturday's national election, was asked why Christians should vote for him, given, quote, "Jesus said a man shall leave his father and mother and be married, and that's the biblical definition," unquote. "I'm just curious for you, Kevin. If you call yourself a Christian, why don't you believe the words of Jesus in the Bible?" Pastor Matt Prater asked the Prime Minister on the live programme Q&A on Monday night. "Well, mate, if I was going to have that view, the Bible also says that slavery is a natural condition," Rudd responded to sustained applause. "Because St. Paul said in the New Testament, slaves be obedient to your masters, and therefore we should have all fought for the Confederacy in the US Civil War. I mean, for goodness sake." Gay marriage is a key issue in some electorates, with Rudd becoming the first Australian Prime Minister to go into an election promising marriage equality, vowing to introduce a bill legalising the unions if returned to office. Conservative opposition leader Tony Abbott is opposed to same-sex marriages. Rudd last year voted against gay marriage in Parliament, but has since changed his mind, prompting Prater to ask whether the Prime Minister kept chopping and changing your beliefs just to get a popular vote with regards to things like marriage. "The human condition and social conditions change," Rudd said, adding that his conversion was a result of many months and years of reflection in good Christian conscience. He said the fundamental principle of the New Testament was one of universal love, and if we get obsessed with a particular definition of that through a form of sexuality, then I think we are missing the centrality of what the gospel is all about. "And if you think homosexuality is an unnatural condition, then frankly I cannot agree with you," he added. Same-sex unions are available in a majority of Australian states, but because marriage comes under federal legislation, these couples are not formally recognised as married by the government. Speaking of tongues is on the decline in the US. Three Crosses Church, Pastor Ken Walters urges his parishioners to join him in song and scripture. The charismatic 58-year-old extends his arms skyward and belts out melodies praising God. While the small Assemblies of God congregation goes for the traditional trappings of a Pentecostal service, there is one notable absence, speaking in tongues, a defining trait of the faith. The 40-member church is among many across the US that are reducing or cutting out speaking in tongues as they become more popular and move to mainstream. It's a shift that's unsettled some more traditional Pentecostals, who say the practice is at the heart of a movement that evolved out of an interracial revival and remains a spontaneous way for the poor and dispossessed to have a direct line to God. The Assemblies of God, one of America's largest Pentecostal denominations with 3 million members, has 66 million members worldwide. Assemblies officials worried about the decline in messages in tongues, or spirit baptism, at a general council meeting this month, showing that the practice decreased by about 3% to fewer than 82,000, the lowest total since 1995, according to statistics released by the Assemblies of God. This is a long-standing phenomenon, said Harvey Cox, an expert in Pentecostalism and professor of religion at the Harvard Divinity School. They don't want what appears to be objectionable to stick out or to be viewed with suspicion. As the religion becomes more widely accepted, Walter said, there has been a tendency for large Pentecostal churches to downplay the differences between Pentecostalism and other well-known Christian denominations. It's different now, Walter said. People don't like to stand out. They don't have to. Meanwhile, newer strains of Pentecostalism, often with roots in other countries like Nigeria and El Salvador, continue to emphasize the practice in church as well as in personal prayer, Cox said. While all Pentecostals accept speaking in tongues as a gift of the Holy Spirit, these smaller niche congregations aren't afraid to embrace the practice and don't care whether it scares some away, he said. Pentecostalism represents one of the fastest growing segments of global Christianity. At least a quarter of the world's 2 billion Christians are members of the Pentecostal faith or related charismatic movements, according to the Pew Research Center. For the first decade, the movement was mainly comprised of poor white and African-American worshippers. Influenced by the spiritual renewal of the Azusa Street Revival, a Pentecostal revival meeting that took place in Los Angeles in 1906, the assemblies grew with interracial services that included speaking in tongues, prophecy, and faith healing. Pentecostals believe speaking in tongues may be an unlearned human language, as the Bible claims happened on the day of Pentecost, or it may be the language of angels. Studies show that the words spoken when delivering messages in tongues lack the components and patterns of a true language. In Rome, Pope Francis's Prime Minister, Tarcisio Bertone, has lashed out against Vatican moles and vipers after it was announced he's being replaced with a top diplomat. Secretary of State Bertone has been a powerful and divisive figure at the top of the Vatican hierarchy. His tenure coincided with dark moments for the Catholic Church, like the explosion of revelations about child abuse by priests and damaging leaks that pointed to intrigue and corruption in the Vatican. The comments from the 78-year-old Italian cardinal, who was appointed by the previous Pope Benedict XVI, was quoted by Italian media on Monday. The Vatican said on Sunday he would be replaced on October the 15th by veteran diplomat Pietro Parolin, who is currently the Vatican's envoy to Venezuela. Of course, there are a lot of problems, particularly in the last 2 years, and some accusations were levied against me, Bertone said. There was a web of moles and vipers, but this shouldn't darken what I see as a positive overall result. We missed some things, also because problems were kept locked away by some people who did not contact the Secretary of State, he said. The Secretary of State is a key Vatican institution, which is effectively the central administration of the Roman Catholic Church worldwide. And finally, motorists may want to think twice about parking in front of the half-built London skyscraper known as the walkie-talkie. That's because the glare of the skin of the new building is so intense that at least one Jaguar owner says it caused part of his vehicle to melt. And that's not all. Locals say the building's heat also burned a hole in the welcome mat of a barber shop across the street. We were working and just saw the smoke coming out of the carpet, said shop owner Ali Akai. This is a health and safety issue. They should have looked into this before they built it. Similar problems have plagued other modern buildings, including in Los Angeles, when neighbors of the Frank Gehry-designed Walt Disney Concert Hall reported heat buildups that required corrective measures. In a joint statement, developers Land Securities and Canary Wharf said they were taking the complaint seriously and looking into how the building reflects sunlight. The 37-story tower, one of the most distinctively shaped skyscrapers in London's financial district, is expected to be completed in 2014. The apparent problem came to public attention when businessman Martin Lindsay told reporters that his Jaguar's mirror, panels and bonnet ornament had all melted from the concentrated sunlight reflected from the building. It was parked for a couple of hours in the city and it's completely warped, he said. It's absolutely ruined. The problem lasts about 2 hours a day and is expected to continue for another 2 to 3 weeks, developers said in a statement. The phenomenon is caused by a current elevation of the sun in the sky, they explained. In the meantime, the company said they will erect a temporary scaffold screen at street level to minimise the problem. They said they've also asked city authorities to suspend parking in 3 spaces.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.